GNC491. It's Monday, July 6th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, got a great show lined up for you. Yes, it's an early recording on a Monday, which is kind of strange. Welcome to everyone that's watching on Ustream. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to encourage you to go over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Of course, you want to sign up for our newsletter as well so you get the show notes of the show delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And, of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of our Ohana, all our longtime listeners of the podcast. I want to welcome you guys to the show and encourage the rest of you that are really just checking us out for the very first time to make sure you get subscribed to the podcast. And do that via the iTunes link or the Zune Marketplace link on the website, or even just use the RSS feed in your favorite podcatcher, whichever that may be. So, of course, I want to welcome everyone. Hey, it's been – did everyone have a good – 4th of July, at least those of you in the United States, did you guys have a great Independence Day? Did you guys go out and do just, you know, cook some burgers, maybe drink some adult beverages, and, you know, just hang out, have fun? I tell you, it was absolutely the most perfect, if I can say that correctly, if that's a correct way to say it, it was the most perfect weekend. I'll be honest with you, it was just completely kicked back. There wasn't a lot of big things going on here in Honolulu this weekend. You know, they had some amusement, you know, basically the carnivals in town. Yes, we have a carnival that comes to town here. And, you know, a variety of different things, but we just kind of chilled. And it was a beautiful thing. It really, really was. I barbecued on the grill here, just kind of did the family thing, didn't really reach out and have a bunch of friends and neighbors over. It was just, you know, kick back. Wife had some, a hubby do list, a honey do list to do. And basically, my lovely wife has been remodeling a bathroom. It's been her first foray into making some upgrades here to the home. And she's done, you know, little by little, she's made some interesting choices. It's been good, and we've went backwards and forwards, but we got to the point where she's almost finished, and I put in a new fan for the overhead, and we found, you know, that's one thing that's weird about homes in Hawaii. You know, you expect your venting, steam from the shower out of the house, supposedly. The old vent didn't even have an exhaust tube hooked to it. It was just venting into my overhead, and all I could do is just shook my head. So we went and got some tubing, and it's venting properly now. So job well done over the weekend. She's got all her curtain rods, and not curtain rods, but the clothes rods and all that stuff hung. And so she's pretty happy. She's just putting on the trim now. And yes, she does trim. So it's kind of a fun deal. But for me, it was a lot of little just catch-up things. And I started to send a blast out to our five podcast winners to start basically what I'm calling the one-year podcast project. And if you've been over to Geek News Central, you'll see the post on that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to mimic some of the information that I'm giving to them. I'm going to put on the blog at some point so that those of you that are thinking about doing your own show will kind of get an idea what I'm instructing the five that I'm consulting with to do. Now, you're not going to get the one-on-one conversations that I'm going to have with each of these folks, but if you are considering doing a podcast, you know, this is going to be a good place to start. Of course, a lot of the stuff that I'm going to be suggesting comes straight from my book that I wrote a number of years ago on podcasting. And some of the stuff has changed a little bit, some different ideas, some different tactics. But we're getting everyone started right. We got them hunting for domain names right now. And I know of at least one show that found their domain name and will be moving forward with their getting their WordPress site set up and all that installed, and then be one step closer to them publishing their first show. So I'm pretty excited about that. Hey, I do have to make a call out here, and I'm going to have to go back and resend an email, but our newsletter winner who won the $250 has not claimed his prize yet. So I'll resend an email to the winner. I don't have in front of me the notes in front of me of exactly who it was. It's in the show notes from that particular show on 22 June, but I will get another email out, but I want to make sure that person picks up his 250 clams. It's an important thing here. Okay, podcastmadness.com. I talked about that in the last show. This is a month where community members from the tech podcast community, a group of shows, were having a contest. And this is my week, folks. This is my week where you have to go over to podcastmadness.com and enter the promo code that I'm about to give you in order to be eligible to win. You're going to hear this promo code this show and the next show only. After that, we're not going to announce it. It's not going to be posted on the blog at any place. So obviously you will have had to listen to have won. Otherwise, the rest of the people that are reading the blog wouldn't know anyway, right? So kind of silly to say this. But Jeffrey put together a little promo for me on podcastmadness.com. And I listened to just a few seconds of it before I started the, let me see if I can actually find this thing now. I thought I had it preloaded here. And of course, all right, let me add the file again, add file, so that I can play this for you guys. And let me look at the date here. Here we go. Okay. Is it in the stack? How come it's not showing up? All right, I think I have to scroll down here. Oh, there we go. All right, here comes the, everyone pay attention. Get your pens ready, or you're going to have to go back and listen to this later. Here comes instructions on how you can be entered to win a bevy of prizes that you can find over at podcastmadness.com. I have the link up to the website in the show notes, but you got to go over there and put your, we're not going to sell your email address or anything like that. It's just to contact you. But here you go. Check this out.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeffrey Powers, and you are listening to Geek News Central. And now it is time to give you your code for the Podcast Madness Summer of Podcast Contest found at www.podcastmadness.com. Your code word for Geek News Central is audience, A-U-D-I-E-N-C-E. Go to podcastmadness.com and enter in that code and win some great prizes. Thanks a lot to Geek News Central for being a participant, and good luck to everybody in the Summer of Podcast Contest.
Okay, for those of you that go over and enter that, a week from today, I will have a special giveaway that will be derived from those of you that have went over there and entered the contest, okay? So in addition to the cool prizes we're going to be giving away at Podcast Madness at the end of the month, if you go over there, I'm going to have Jeffrey pull my subset of data out of the database. And then next week, same time, same place, we'll be giving away a cool prize for those of you that go over and enter. Okay, let's see here. Let me see if I get through my little notes here, and we'll get into the tech that you guys all have come for. Just kind of a curious question. Did any of you go to any tea parties this weekend? I know that they had a couple here, actually four in Honolulu. I didn't make it out to one. But did any of you go to one? Have any of you guys checked any of that out? And another thing that I found heard that was pretty interesting was I heard this guy by the name of Rick Green speak yesterday. And he's from a website called wallbuilders.com. Now, the content of some of the stuff that he shared was pretty interesting. So some of you may want to go check that out. It's kind of in relation to the Tea Party stuff, but it's also pretty cool. Wallbuilders.com, check that out. And this guy, Rick Green, had a pretty good presentation that I heard yesterday. So anyway, I thought I would share that with you. Hey, let's take care of a few minutes. Let's take care of a few business items here, of course. All this content that is produced today and basically all the prizes that we're able to give away would not be possible without our good friends at GoDaddy.com. If you're looking for a domain name, shared server, dedicated server, an SSL certificate, whatever it may be in the online department, GoDaddy.com has what you need. And when you get over to the checkout counter, don't forget your good old geek here at Geek News Central, because the promo code's TODD. That will save you 10% on your orders. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd 20 will save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts. I'll tell you a little experience I had this weekend over at GoDaddy. I had a bunch of .mobi, .mobi domains, and I had a kind of a hodgepodge of domains that needed to be renewed. And tried my promo code Todd on those, and that didn't work. So play around with my promo codes, because using the one ComSail, that saved me some money. But actually, I've got a promo code that'll save you $20 on orders $75 or more. That one was one that really I struck gold with. It really saved me a bunch of money on that particular purchase. So I've got a large number of promo codes. And one thing that you can always do if you're looking for them, there is one place that they're always hid, and it's over on the live feed webpage. The promo code I used on Saturday to save myself $20 was the code Aloha, A-L-O-H-A, Aloha. And that was a huge savings. I think the bill was like $94, and then boom, $74 right off the bat. So nice way to save $20 on a bunch of domain renewals. Okay, let me go ahead here and take care of this last final thing. GoToMeeting. We're going to be having our roundtable this upcoming Saturday. I got to get together with Annie McCaskey, and we got to get the agenda put together. But it'll be our monthly roundtable, and we're a little bit behind on our schedule. But definitely going to have some good presentations there. So if you've got time on Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, come out and hang with out with us at techpodcast.com. And, of course, you'll see how awesome it is for us to actually do a presentation with the multiple people using the GoToMeeting software. And I couldn't live without this application. Matter of fact, just this morning I had a Blueberry member who was having trouble implementing some of the stuff for our podcast advertising. I came up in a GoToMeeting session, was watching what he was doing, and actually hooked him up and got him set up straight and got him on the right path. So you can get a free 30-day, no credit card trial required at GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Again, for free 30-day trial, and your support of my sponsors. Keep the lights on here, and thanks very much for your all's continued support of all of the sponsors. All right. One thing I've been noticing ever since IE upgrade, Internet Explorer upgraded to version 8, is that I have three or four, I have a business banking account, which is through Bank of Hawaii. I have one of our corporate for raw voice banking accounts through another bank in the mainland. And then I have a personal banking account that my wife and I have our checkings, our savings account, so forth with. And normally I use Firefox to go into two of the three websites, and they've been fine. The personal one and the one with raw voice was good, but going into the Bank of Hawaii website, tried to go in with Firefox the other day, and it said, no, you got to use IE. So I loaded IE 8 up, went to log in, and it said, hey, this site's only compatible with IE 6 and IE 7. And I'm thinking to myself, what do I do now? How do I mitigate this? I'm stuck. I can't get online and check balances, see what checks have cleared. Called to the bank this morning and said, hey, when are you going to get your online banking system set up to support IE8? And she said, oh, sorry, sir, we don't have a timeline for that. I'm like, how is this possible? I said, the computer through auto update upgraded automatically. You know, I've never seen a delay in having access. And I guess they have been getting calls, lots of calls, and probably the heat is on. Actually, I was talking with a buddy of mine, and he said that he has a Citibank corporate account, and he tried logging on to his Citibank corporate account. Now, he had a regular Citibank Visa or MasterCard or something like that through a personal account. He was able to log on to that, but when he went to the Citibank corporate site to take care of his corporate stuff. He couldn't get on with IE8 either. So how many of you are running into this trouble? Are you finding sites that are rejecting IE8, in particular banking sites? And love to hear you guys' feedback on this. Of course, today during the podcast, if you have any type of comments, you can send them to geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call the voicemail hotline at +1-619-342-7365 to leave your comments. But it's frustrating. You know, it felt like I was back in the Stone Ages, you know, calling the bank and hitting the buttons. And would you like to hear your last 10 transactions, you know? I'm sitting here with a pen, doot, 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 and I'm hitting the button. Wow, I couldn't believe it. So if you're seeing that, let me know, and I'd like to hear your feedback. PayPal's okay. I was able to get in there, but like something to do with the banking systems. They do not like IE version 8, and maybe they were who is this guy that's on the website? Let me see if I can get rid of him. Can I get rid of this guy? Yes. He is gone. You are gone, mister. Ha ha. Okay. So those of you that were in the chat on Ustream, he has been bounced. Oh, that's funny. So, yeah, I bet this guy won the lottery through the Bank of Nigeria. I'm sure he did. Oh, man. Okay, let me go ahead and bounce in here into the regular, was he joking? Someone said, though, he was, Well, I just made someone upset. Oh, well. I apologize if he's been, I don't think he was joking, though. Someone was saying that he needed to be, okay, it is what it is. All right, yeah, that's what I was keying on there, was I was keying on he was acting weird earlier, so I'll have to see how I can unban him later. I'm talking to folks on Ustream. So, all right, let me go ahead and move on here. Over on MozillaZine.org, on Ace Adulter's weblog, he's got a write-up that's made the news this weekend talking about Internet Explorer's falling percent, you know, the number of people actually using IE. And I've actually went and logged on to Google Analytics, and I was looking to see what the share was on Geek News Central and then Blueberry and some of the other sites for Internet Explorer. And I have also noticed a dropping trend line, and they're saying that over the past few months that Internet Explorer has lost about 11% market share, whereas Safari and the other browsers out there continue to gain market share. And, you know, having not used Internet Explorer any time, you know, unless I actually am forced to, like when I'm having to go to a banking site or something, you know, I really have not had a lot of day-to-day utilization of IE. So I'm curious, from those of you that are in the audience that have used IE for a long time, if the trends are showing, you know, on my site the way they're showing across the rest of the Internet. How many of you have recently switched, and what was the reason for your switch? So, you know, this is specifically for anyone that's maybe switched from IE to another browser in the last 6 months. Like to hear what you guys say about the, you know, how come, you know, why did you make the switch, and why didn't you make it sooner? Is it just because the number of browsers out there are a wider variety? You know, you got Chrome, Safari, Opera, Firefox, you know, those are all four pretty good browsers that are out there. So is this one of the reasons why you've made the switch? Did you switch to, backfill me if you've made the switch recently on why you did. And, of course, there's a big security issue out right now. If you're going to websites that have ActiveX applications running on them, there's a big security issue right now. We'll talk a little bit later in the show. Primarily, it's going to affect those of you that are still running IE, and no word from Microsoft on when it's going to get patched. Hey, we're on Mark Cuban's website. He's got a post on here that's getting getting semi-criticism across the net. But I hate to say it, I have to semi-agree with him on this. And the title of his blog post sums it up completely. He says, "When you succeed with free, you're going to die by free." And it's basically talking about companies who built their businesses around giving applications or giving services away for free and relying on advertising or some other type of added value services to pay the bills and, you know, supposedly make companies profitable. And I think as we've watched many, in the dot-com era back in 2000 when so many dot-coms failed, many of those sites were running on a free model. Well, here we are again. You know, it's 2009. We've got literally hundreds and thousands of websites out there that are nothing but, you know, they're free. And, you know, they're trying to eke their existence out of advertising on their website or maybe some premium type services that are made available. And it's one thing that when we were looking at our business plan and building out what we are doing, we basically knew from the very beginning that free wasn't going to cut it. Not when you're dealing with, and not only wasn't free going to cut it, but discounted services. There's in the podcast hosting space right now, there are some companies out there that really, you know, definitely were trailblazers in their time. And they definitely came in with pricing that was unbelievably good. But at the same time, that pricing at this point in the game, when you're dealing with video, file sizes increasing, audience sizes skyrocketing, because, you know, when you're talking about a small subscription fee, it's very, very hard to make any money on that unless you have literally thousands and thousands of customers, whereas, you know, a few of your top users use, you know, probably 90% of the, you know, monetary resources to, you know, basically, it always kind of works that way anyway, where you have a bunch of customers that don't use a lot of services, and then you have a few that use a lot. It's basically going back to the model that the internet service providers are basically saying, where they're saying, okay, 97% of the users only use X number of gigs of bandwidth a month, and where the other 3%, they're using, you know, the large majority of the rest of the bandwidth. And it's the same way in the podcast hosting business, where the small shows really are the money makers and the big shows are loss leaders. And you get too many loss leaders and you're out of business. But the way we had priced our services was that we kind of picked a happy medium. We knew they were going to have some loss leaders, but the risk involved in pricing stuff too low was that it just didn't make a lot of sense. You know, why? You know, if you look at support, customer support costs money and everything else, you got to have some margin in there of profitability in order to survive and keep moving forward and doing good things and bringing stuff to the marketplace that makes sense. And these companies that are out there right now that are doing free, all they're doing is, you know, they're living on their venture capital money and hoping and praying, and they're, you know, doing a Hail Mary that someone's going to buy them, or, you know, they are able to have an IPO. But the case in point is there's very few companies that are having IPOs. So, you know, you think about the number of sites you're using out there today that are free. You know, you look at Twitter, huge. But they got huge backing. I don't think we have to worry about them being bought up. They're probably going to get bought by a big company at some point. Facebook, you know, they're generating $500 million worth of revenue because of their scale. They have enough depth in which they are, you know, they're turning that type of dollars. But then you've got all these other sites out there that, you know, really maybe don't have as big of an audience. I can't see how they're going to survive in the long term. So I think as we move forward, as more dot-coms start to fail, we're going to start to see something's going to have to change. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Mark's wrong. Maybe the free model will continue to survive. So, you know, the Facebooks, the Twitters, you know, those are one-offs. Those are very, very rare to make that type of, you know, the scale as big as they have to make it, you know, their audience is worth as much as, or their users are as worth as much as the actual service itself. So what do you guys think? What do you think is going to happen with all these free companies out there? Are we going to continue to see them fail? Is the free model going to stick with this? Are we going to see more premium services where people are going to have to pay for stuff? I'd like to hear what you guys think. I guess maybe I'm old school. Maybe I'm under the impression that, you know, when you set up a company, you should try to make money. You know, You got to eat and freeze good, but with the current market, way advertising is down and everything else, I just don't see how it's possible. So I know this is not super techie related, but it is involved in the stuff that we do on the internet every day. So love to hear you guys' feedback on this as well. And do you think Mark and I are right? You think the free model is going to go away, or you think the free model is going to stay? Do you think there's going to be a hybrid of sorts? I'm kind of leaning towards a hybrid. That's what I'm thinking. All right, those of you that are iPhone users, you're going to want to check this out. This has got to be the coolest case that I have ever seen for a iPhone. It's made by a company called Factron. It packs some pretty cool stuff, including a lens adapter. It when I look at this initially, I'm like, wow, that thing is like over-engineered. And let's put it this way. It's going to set you back $200 for this case. But when you see it, it is impressive. It's polished aluminum. It's been milled. It is like, I looked at it, I was like, wow, this is nice. And I don't know if I'd want to spend as much as I spent for the phone for the case, but you definitely would be styling with this particular case from Factron. I have this link up in the show notes. Link was available from the folks over at Gizmodo, or Engadget, excuse me. All right, you've seen lots of free stuff. You go into a store and you say, oh, 99 cents with a subscription to something or other. Okay, you get a cell phone for 99 cents, right? Well, Sprint is now offering a netbook for under $1. So this is kind of an interesting process. You can get a compact netbook with embedded mobile broadband for 99 cents or $199 without activation. So basically you have to buy a 2-year activation plan. And you'll have to, keep that subscription going for 2 years. That's basically how they're going to pay for the netbook. But if you're looking for, here's the thing that drives me crazy about netbooks. In all honesty, I think they're worthless. And here's why. You can't do hardly anything with them. You can surf the net. You might, if you're real lucky, might be able to reload a Word document. But you can't do any type of heavy lifting. So I don't understand why people, I applaud Sprint for doing this. But why would you spend, why don't you just get a Sprint EVDO card and pay a regular, get that for 99 cents with a 2-year plan. And be able to move that amongst multiple computers if you have more than one. And if you're going to travel someplace and you need a little more power, you can take your regular laptop with you. If you're traversing around town and only need internet service, well, then maybe the netbook makes sense. But how many of us now go around town carrying a netbook if we're just going to be traipsing around someplace? A buddy of mine went on vacation with just his netbook. And it was frustrating because I said, hey, and this is a buddy of mine that does work for me from time to time. And I said, hey, I need something done. Oh, I can't do it. My netbook won't support it. I'm like, why didn't you have your laptop with you? Well, I travel with my netbook. It just doesn't, to me, as a business person, and in this world that we live in where everything is 24/7, I just don't get it. I really, really don't. I know many of you have netbooks. I know many of you use them. I know many of you love them. But for me, I don't know. I guess it's a good throwaway computer, to be honest with you. But if you want a connected netbook and can afford the monthly subscription fee locked into one device, you can get this compact netbook with embedded mobile broadband. So available in Sprint stores. Nationwide, I guess. So there's a couple other carriers that are flirting with this too. So I'm sure we'll see something from Verizon and AT&T here shortly. Those of you, how many of you got the white iPhone? You guys see any of these discoloration? A lot of discussion about this so far. Nothing really coming back from Apple on it. But I think I would be upset if I had a discolored iPhone that I bought brand new that white turned to brown. How many of you use a task manager to task you with, basically saying, okay, I want this project done by Tuesday at 4 o'clock. I want this one done by Monday at 9 a.m. How many of you use something within Outlook or a different type of application to actually keep you on task or remind you that you got projects coming due? I live by the list, either on paper or on the computer. I live by a list. If I don't have a list, I've told you guys this before, I'm lost. But I found something today that I thought was pretty cool. It's a clock that is a little different. In a sense, it's really not a clock, but it has clock tendencies. It can be programmed, and it's called the Trace of Time Clock that allows you to write on it. It's like a little plexi board. You can write on it. It's got a little timer sweep that basically says certain times where meetings, call, project due, and it basically, you can hang this on your wall, and each day you can write your task on it, and as the timer advances, and it goes on a per hour basis, so you do this on a daily basis to write your tasks there, you can basically keep yourself on track by having a clock on the wall that specifically has your task outline. Now, what they should have really done with this is they should have had embedded LEDs or something into it that would have really jazzed it up. But it's kind of cool. I don't think I would live with it or deal with it real well. But depending on how you stay organized, this might be the thing for you. So I'll have the link up to it in the show notes. Don't know what this costs, but it's actually available. You can buy it online and everything. All right. McDonald's. All of us go to McDonald's from time to time, and I regret every time I do so. They're offering Wi-Fi to customers now. You can, they got coffee. Matter of fact, their coffee is pretty good when you go in and buy their coffee. If those of you looking to save some money from Starbucks, their coffee isn't too bad. But McDonald's is now installing electric vehicle charging stations for the, two or three of you out there that have electric cars. So, starting in Cary, North Carolina, and why they picked Cary, North Carolina, I don't know. Must be this was a point that had a number of electric cars, but it will be the first McDonald's in the nation to offer car recharging via the ChargePoint network charging stations. And you're on the road with your electric car, you need to go get charged up. You can go into McDonald's, plug in for 4 hours to get recharged, and at the same time that you're recharging, you can you can eat 5 Big Macs. And what they really need to do is they need to put a Gold's Gym, attach that right next to a McDonald's. Gold's Gym and a McDonald's need to team up if they're going to have these charge point network charging stations. At least then you can go in and for 30 minutes stuff your face with 1500 calories of rotten food, and then you can spend 3 hours in the gym working it off, 30 minutes take your shower, get in your car, and drive off. Now that is a combination that will work. Yeah, someone said in the chat room, treadmill stations, absolutely. Oh, gosh. All right, Nokia. This is the rumor of the day. Nokia claimed to be working on an Android phone for unveiling later this year. The folks from Nokia, though, have responded saying there's absolutely no truth to this whatsoever, and everyone knows that Symbian is their preferred platform. Now, there was a review of the Nokia N97, and all I can say about the Nokia N97 is, how many of you fellows or even ladies out there have a Swiss Army knife? You know what I'm talking about? The knife that's got like 25 different things. It's got a screwdriver, Phillips, magnifying glass. You can, it's the typical MacGyver thing. You can repel from tall buildings and, fix a nuclear aircraft carrier with it. It's got everything in the same sheath. Well, the Nokia N97 is like the Swiss Army knife. It's got everything. And, it is loaded from one end to the other. So if you're looking for, a Symbian-based smartphone, the Nokia N97 may be the way to go. They are going to have to work real hard to probably chase down the Pre and the iPhone. But they're trying. They really, really are. But I don't think they're going to be able to do it on the Symbian-based operating system. So it only makes sense that they might be secretly working behind the scenes on something Android-based. Time will tell. We'll keep our eyes peeled on this. All right, I published an article this weekend. Actually, I published it on the 4th of July, talking about my podcast publishing process. And those of you that have hang out on this, hang out with me long enough, have been here from the beginning, have probably heard me talk several times on my process that I do to do my show here. And I just kind of want to share with you guys something that I've determined. Now, today's not the case in point because I spent 30 minutes trying to figure out why I had an audio problem, which turned out to be a knob that was turned down mysteriously on my rig, and kind of an odd knob that would have never been turned down unless a little five-year-old got his hands on it. But yeah, nothing more frustrating than coming up online and ready to go, and you stick your headset on, and there's no audio. And but you know, my show prep takes about an hour. Getting the TriCaster, Ustream, getting Adobe Edition set up, that takes about 10 minutes. Announcing the live event on Twitter, maybe 5 minutes. Then do the show, so we're an hour and 15 minutes recording. Before, what I used to do is I would save the recording, I would fill in the ID3 tags, I'd upload via FTP to a podcast server, I'd create the show notes, that would take about 30 minutes total. I'd announce the new show on Twitter, and then send the newsletter to the audience. All told, about 3 hours, 20 minutes. Where I gained some time, my show used to be a prep. My entire show prep used to be 3 hours, but I never used to do the Twitter thing or Facebook or the live streaming. So, you know, that's what's added about 20 minutes to the process. And being a glutton for time management and trying to keep the show under 3 hours, one of the things that I wanted to do as we were developing PowerPress and our hosting stuff over at Blueberry was to increase the speed in which people are save time in the publishing process. So while the show prep and the TriCaster stuff and announcing the event on Ustream and Twitter is all the same and the podcast recording is the same, now when I get done, saving the recording takes 5 minutes, but now when I don't have to fill in the ID3 tags no more. That, you know, that was a two-step process. I don't have to name the file anymore. I don't have to worry about what date it is or anything. I don't have to announce the new show's available on Twitter. And here's the reason why. All I get done, I just drag the media file onto our uploader. It starts uploading. I still have to do my show notes, which takes about 20 minutes because I'm removing the ID3 tag step and a couple other little software processes. And when I hit publish, the newsletter now automatically gets blasted to you guys. I send it to an email at the mailing list at Google Groups, and then it redistributes to everything, announces a show on Twitter, it rewrites ID3 tags for me. So I figure what I'm doing now is I'm saving about 20 minutes. Now, you may think 20 minutes is not a big deal, but here was the thing that sold me, that made me really want to talk about this, was that when I normally do the show at 8 p.m. here, that means 11:20 before I walk into the living room. Because I shut the door of the office and it stays closed until I'm done. But when I started walking out earlier, my wife would like say, "Hey, are you done?" And look at me kind of funny, like, "You're early." And it really made me realize that we really had latched on. The goal of what we were set out to do was really met by the process that we put forth. So, you know, obviously I'm biased here. And a disclaimer, you know, we were my company is the one that's behind all this, but I never thought I would save a full 20 minutes on the show production. It's, you know, it's a pretty refined process as it is, but to save 20 minutes is huge. Now, different people have their processing done different ways, and everybody's time will be a little different. So, but I'd like to hear back from some of our hosting customers and those that are and see what their maybe they've never had, you know, refined it as well as I have, but it was pretty interesting from my perspective. Okay, let me go ahead and move on here to Voo. Let's talk about Voo, V-U-E, VooZone.com. I'm always into, you know, checking out camera systems for the home, different types of things, and Voo has what's and I don't like to run wires. That's the thing, it just drives me crazy. But Voo is coming out with a product called the Personal Video Network. And right now it looks like it's only a two camera system. But what you can do with this is you got a base station that you plug into a into your switch, into your router, and then you set these cameras up anywhere in the home, and you can access this thing through the internet, and it basically wireless video. The video quality is pretty good. I was looking at some videos on it. And a pretty cool little solution. So if you're looking for a small camera solution, this is not quite yet available. It's going to be shipping soon, but it's really simple. This is going to make people that are looking to, you know, maybe put a camera where your dogs are or where a baby is, or if you've got a sitter maybe in the living room, this thing is perfect to be able to kind of log on, you know, go back, log into your account, and actually look and see what's going on at home. Via the net, and I even heard that this is going to work okay on the iPhone or another type of media-driven, or actually any type of browser type of device on your mobile phones. So this is a pretty cool little product. I don't know the price range. I think it's about under $200, but really for a wireless system, looking good. Now, is anybody else using a wireless system right now? Have you got cameras set up in your home or use a security that are wireless? What are you using? What did it cost you? What company did you go through? Or are you using wired cameras? What are you guys using? You know, the few I have here right now are wired. And boy, I tell you, I don't like climbing up in my closet. Or not my closet, my overhead closet. You know, basically an overhead of the house, because I need, first of all, I need to get one of those solar fans up there to start sucking the heat out. But yeah, that's, you know, worthy of a shower after being upstairs when it's 150 degrees up there. But no fun running cables in amongst the insulation and everything else. But Vuezone, Vuezone.com is the name of the website. Talked about the Nokia N97 already. Going to have that linked up in the show notes. If any of you are sailing fanatics, I'm going to link you up to an article that's over on Gizmodo talking about you know, a race that's going on right now between California and Hawaii. I think this is pretty cool. They're talking about some of the technology they're using on some of these sailboats. Absolutely impressive and definitely a rich man's game. This is nothing cheap about this. Hey, by the way, I had Nicole in from – this is kind of a – it was kind of a strange deal. Not really strange. Nicole, that was Ross Savage's program director, she called me on Thursday, said that she needed a place to do her I guess Leo Laporte was out on vacation, and he's in China or someplace like this, and that she needed a place to be able to stream Roz's show. So I fully expected that she would need the TriCaster. We'd just log in. We'd do the full stream. And what it turned out was, and here's the odd thing. You guys on Ustream are watching a video right now, working great, right? The stream's up. It's working great. Great video. So Roz is obviously out there on the ocean by herself. She's rowing from Hawaii to whatever destination she can get to. There's several islands out there she's trying to reach. And so I thought that's all she was going to need was to do that here. Well, I get a call from Leo Laporte's production team, and he says, oh, yeah, all we want you to do is provide a Skype connection. I was like, that's it? Okay, well, no problem. So I got, you know, I had everything set up. She had the camera. I thought I'd get a, you know, put an HD camera on her, made sure she had good high-quality video, had Skype all set up. So connected up with Leo's team in California, and the Skype video was absolutely horrible. And I'm thinking to myself, what is the deal? How come I can stream at a very high rate to Ustream, not have any issues, but yet when we try to do a Skype video, and that was the only thing going on in the network, the video was crap. It really, it's beyond frustrating, to be honest with you. And that's why I just, at this point in the game, I still don't trust Skype completely. You know, obviously, Leo's got a big fat pipe in his studio, so he doesn't have to worry about anything incoming. And usually people on the mainland don't have an issue with Skype. But boy, I tell you, that Friday morning, either everyone in Hawaii was on the internet, maybe they were because it was a holiday and everyone was off, but the video quality was just, and I felt bad, I really, really did. And but yeah, Nicole had a great conversation with Roz. She's about 1,400 miles downrange, I guess, been on the ocean 40-some days. But you'll definitely want to check out Roz's latest show. You can find it, I think, over at – I don't know if they're putting it up on RozSavage.com or not. But anyway, Nicole was here, and she's a great gal. You know, here's someone that's dedicated. She doesn't get paid. And I was like, a volunteer in this day and age, staying in Hawaii no less, very commendable. What a woman to, you know, really step up and support Roz as she's rowing across. So RozSavage.com, and big kudos to Nicole, her production assistant. Let's talk a little bit about Clearwire. Clearwire says they're going to hit 80 markets in 18 months. And I think Hawaii is in their first initial rollout, so I'm looking forward to that coming out later this year. And, of course, only three of those are currently live, but that means that Clearwire is going to have to roll out like 72 markets. Now, I know I got a buddy of mine here who's doing some of the construction for Clear. They're actually putting towers up, and they're going crazy. They're putting them up as fast as they can in multiple places around the island here. So I know that the rollout is proceeding, and I have a tenant, you know, they basically have a, you must be done by this day. And I'm thinking, I don't want to dime Clear out, but I have a pretty good idea when Clear is coming to Hawaii. And I'm really looking forward to it. But what do you guys think about Clear? Are they going to be able to do this? You know, they've got their deployment funds. Don't allow them to do a nationwide rollout, but they're going to try to do 80 markets, which is, you know, quite a bit as they get started here. You know, with the market the way it is, do they, you know, do you guys think they're going to make it? I hope they do. I really, really do, because competition is good. As long as they bring the speed that they're promising to the community, it's good. All right. This next article, you guys just got to check out. This is the article of the night. And the website is at benbenm.at. Okay. So benbenm.at. And what you're looking for is a post that was done. I have it up in the show notes, of course. But it was a video that was put up on their website on the 6th of July. And it's the iPhone 3G time lapse. There's an app that you can download from the App Store called called Time Lapse. I think it's cost about $30. You know, every time I see some cool video like this coming off the iPhone, makes me really go, oh my goodness. I'm holding off on getting it, because here's what I've been hearing. I heard that Apple has just put in a purchase order for lots of cameras. I mean, huge numbers. So huge that they think that the new iPod Touch is going to have a camera in it. Now, you think about this for a second. If Apple rolls a camera into the iPod Touch and all the other iPods, which is a consideration because this camera module is going to cost $10, if they roll this into multiple iPod devices, that is a major game changer. Because, all right, like my little flip cam, right? So what's it cost? $200. What does an iPod Touch cost? $200. What does the iPod Touch do? Lets me play music, lets me have apps from the App Store, lets me do everything that an iPhone does except make phone calls. Now, you add a camera to that, and a good one, and you do the kind of stuff I'm seeing here in this vid of the day over at benm.at. If I was a camera manufacturer, I would be scared to death of Apple, because what do you do now? That's problem solved. No longer will I carry a little itty bitsy camera in my pocket. Now I got this little Sony Webby HD, does a 720p, does a pretty good job. But if Apple can come out with something that will replace this, and I don't have to carry two devices. Now you guys will say, okay, Todd, cameras have been in cell phones a long time. Yes, they have, but they don't have tools on board that allow you to edit. They don't have cool applications that let you do this time lapse. This is big. It really, really is. And so anyway, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Check the video out. And if you aren't impressed, I'm sorry. Very impressive coming from an iPhone perspective. Okay, let's talk a little bit about ramen. I'm talking about ramen noodles. You know, if you're in Japan, you know, you go to a ramen shop right there. They're making it. You can see everything being done. You see the fresh noodles being made. You can see, you know, 20 different broth containers. You know, the guy's going crazy mixing stuff up, dropping miso into the, you know, it's a process to watch. Well, some Japanese guy got tired of mixing all this stuff up himself, and he's created a robot that makes noodles. It's capable of satisfying the needs of any customer, and it can create 40 million different recipes. So can you imagine, you know, he's going to need a computer screen to order the ramen online. But it measures the amount of soy sauce, salt, and different types of vegetables it puts in, chops the noodles in, makes the different types of broth, all automated. This is a cool device, and people will come to your ramen shop just to see this thing run. Now, those of you that don't have a ramen shop, I'm sorry. It's, you know, it's just one of those things, being married to a Japanese woman. I thought this was totally cool. I have this link up in the show notes, but this guy's going to make a lot of money. He surely is. You know, it reduces like 20 people the guys need to hire in the shop. He just has to sit there and serve the bowls. This thing will, will make stuff for it automatically. Just, you know, he punches it in and does it. All right, how many of you started on the internet on CompuServe? Well, I was never. I was one of these guys that grew up in the bulletin board days. My first connection to the internet, was actually through a CompuServe Telnet port. I never had a CompuServe account. I just had a Telnet account with them when I was in Guam. But, you know, as soon as we were able to connect via TCP, you know, these are back in Windows 3.1 days. And, boy, there were some kludges to get on the internet back then. But many people, CompuServe sent out millions and millions and millions of disks. And, they had the world supply of, they actually made the world supply of computer disks go down at one time, or CDs. But, a lot of people were online strictly through CompuServe. As a matter of fact, a lot of people connected through NT. How many of you remember NT? That was back in 1999. And, many of you have probably still got a CompuServe email address. Well, the CompuServe service that started in 1979 has been shut down, and by its current owner, AOL, and that's another one that was out there that sent out millions of disks. AOL was another. But generally, the geeky guys were over on CompuServe. And I have to say this. It served a purpose for its time, but I can't believe it lasted this long. It's just like AOL. And I can't believe that they're still online with all, you know, their variety of different services. But, you know, how many of you still had a CompuServe account? Anyone still have one that's part of the audience? I tell you, gateway to the internet through those two companies, AOL and CompuServe, was challenging. But I will say this about them. They provided a service at the time that many other companies did not. I remember when I was running at the BBS, what I would do is I would take a modem offline from the BBS. I would had a script that I would run, and it was through some sort of a modem script that we had at the time. Dial into CompuServe. It would get into the Telnet port. It was our log on to a site in Chicago, some big bulletin board in Chicago. And from there, I could reach about a dozen bulletin board sites, and then I would from there, with our logon again, this is like three hops, get to the sites I needed to, pull down all of the new files, pull down the FIDO mail, all this. And my bill was huge. It was like $400 or $500 a month. And this was all being done at like 14.4 speed. And really, after all those hops, it was maybe 2,400 baht is what you were getting. This is when I was living in Guam. And it was a kludge, but no one else could do it. People were amazed. I had email coming in. Because of being able to get through and be able to connect to a mail server, I was like the second guy in Guam to have email at Hafadai.com. And they served a purpose, but boy, oh boy, they're definitely rip at this point. And what do you guys think? What are your guys' thoughts on CompuServe? Those of you that were old timers, do you remember getting on in CompuServe? Were you online in 1979 when they first come online? I didn't go online that early. My time to get online was probably in the it was about 90, maybe 90, 91 time frame was when I first started getting online, and seems like a long time ago. But anyway. Decided to go take a little bit down my memory lane there for a little bit and talk about CompuServe, which is now it's now RIP. I read an article today on GigaOm that I thought was pretty interesting. Now, if you think – now, this is not super tech-related, but because, you know, the economy is doing what it's doing, I thought this was a relevant article, and I thought I would share this with you guys. And you guys definitely want to read this. So it's over at GigaOm.com. And it's the title of this, America's Secret Innovation Weapon, Immigration. And if you guys remember, maybe you don't, back in the day, in order for people to get visas to the United States, they had to be bringing some sort of talent, or you know, they get a green card, or you know, get permission to enter the country to become a permanent resident. They had to bring something to the table. They had to have a college degree. They had to have a business that they were building here that was, you know, had reached certain status. You know, there was all kinds of hurdles people had to jump through. And really what we did is there was a selective process where the immigration was essentially bringing in the best and the brightest. And at the same time, they were had quotas for people that were trying to get here on humanitarian type basis and so forth. But with the population of the world exploding, don't you think that we could really do ourselves a favor by really looking at that again and, you know, and trying to immigrate people to the United States that have engineering degrees, have higher educations. You know, that's one way we could help ourselves a little bit here and bringing in higher quality people to work within the United States. I don't know if it's possible today since we have a global economy, but I don't know how much of this actually happens now, but they're calling it strategic immigration. I think that's a cool concept that ought to be revisited and something that I hadn't really thought about in regards to our domestic situation right now with the way the economy is. They're talking about, you know, basically having the United States actively reach out to top people at maybe top 25 universities worldwide and dangle a carrot. Say, hey, you want to come live in the United States? Here's a green card. You know, and maybe even to the point of, hey, come on over to the country, we'll set you up. I think that would be a smart way to bring some people in. While at the same time, you know, leave some slots available for humanitarian purposes and people that, you know, been on the waiting list to come to the country and so forth. I think that's good. Immigration like that, I think is maybe a good idea. So I'm sure I'm going to get some feedback on that. you know, all these guys that they got here on these, you know, these work visas, you know, if they're bringing something to the economy, maybe that's something to look at. I don't know. All right, what do you guys think about talking about solid-state data drives? Do you think this is going to be the, you know, the Pandora's box that's really going to change things in storage? Do you think this is going to be Moore's Law is going to apply to storage? This is where we're going to find our next big jump. And, you know, right now, if you've noticed, we've continued to increase the drive storage space. I think you can get hard drives out there now about 1.5 terabytes, I believe. That's a lot of storage, but in the scheme of things, that's really, you know, a lot when you're not a lot dealing with video and so forth. You know, I just find myself all the time running out of hard drive space and having to delete stuff and, you know, maybe buy a drive just for nothing but offloading some storage. And it's, you know, it's going to get expensive at some point. And also that, it's, you know, how many drives am I going to have laying around? But they feel right now that solid-state drives is probably the next step to increasing the amount of storage that's made available in the same amount of space. Cost is coming down on these drives. They're becoming more reliable, use less power, aren't as hot. It just seems so logical that we're going to move into a solid-state drive. You know, I predict here in probably the next 5 years, 5 to 10 years, that solid-state drives are going to be it. You're not going to find regular mechanical hard drives anymore. I think everything is going to be SSD. And obviously the storage space is not up there yet as compared to hard drives, so maybe it'll take a little longer. But I really think solid-state where it's going to go. And it won't be too long before, you know, we're going to have solid-state drives that are going to hold multiple terabytes of data. It's just, you know, a matter of putting the science and technology at it as they're, you know, developing it and cheaper, make it cheaper and so forth. So where do you guys think solid-state drives are going to go in the next 10 years? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail, hotline, +1-619-342-7365. Let me talk a little bit about a pretty cool article I found over at Winly.com. And this is for the super geekies out there, those of you that work with servers and so forth. Now, I've always wondered, you know, how, you know, I'm not, don't claim to be a Linux guru. Don't, you know, don't even claim to be one. You know, I dabble with it a little bit at the command line. But, you know, I've always wondered how companies scale their services and how they build machines out as quick as they do. And, you know, typically my recollection of it was that maybe they've got a gold disk and they, you know, they've got a machine that will, you know, from that gold disk will burn 25 drives at a time or 100 drives at a time or 1,000 drives at a time. And, you know, that still requires a guy to pull that drive off that duplicator, put it in the machine, screw it in, close the box, test it, make sure it all works. That doesn't make a lot of sense. But one thing that I found pretty fascinating today was the ability now of being able to do Linux builds. You know, just have a machine that's sitting there with nothing on it. You turn it in, turn it on. It's got a either CD or some sort of a LAN-activated console. You know, there's basically the LAN tells the machine to wake up. And they can actually create through some code that's out there now, one application called Cobbler. It's a Linux installation server, which I was reading on. It seems pretty amazing. It provides templated kickstart files, DHCP and DNS servers, the ability to manage multiple distros and repositories, and a database for keeping it all straight. Along with that, they've got applications out there that come along with Fedora and CentOS and so forth that allow you to you know, define which packages are going to be installed. Pretty cool way for building complex infrastructure and being able to have it scale quickly. Nothing like, you know, basically calling your provider and say, hey, turn 25 machines on. I need more. And then automatically have this, have these machines built with the latest software builds and everything that you need. It's pretty cool. Anybody doing any of that? I'd love to talk to you. I really would. And how this all works, because I don't fully understand it. You know, you would think that you have a machine that's been, that has nothing in it. It's just, you know, it comes from the factory. And you would think that they would need something installed in these machines to kind of get the process started, or a disk in a CD or something like that. But apparently that's not the case. And it's possible to build up new machines with some of these new servers without ever putting a drive one in them. And pretty amazing stuff. Now, I almost think there's got to be something preloaded on these hard drives to make that happen. I just can't see it not happening. It doesn't make any sense to me. But that's not what the article says, so I have it linked up in the show notes. You can check it out. Okay. Let's see here. What's going on with Firefox is every time I try to, I've got so many tabs open tonight that every time I click more than three or four times, the tabs race to the other side of the page. It's almost, and the thing is, the last tab goes two or three tabs too far, so I have to really slowly go across. Let me look at the time. How are we doing on time here? Oh, my gosh, I'm really going to be long. All right, Robin Good, it's got a great article on white label video publishing platforms. This is really cool. So if you're doing real well with video, you'll definitely want to check out Robin Good's website and check out the video the white label video platforms that are available. Article over on... actually, going to skip that one because we're going to be out of running. I can't believe, where did the time go? Oh, my God. I got like 10 tabs to open. So we'll skip that one. Here's an interesting article out of Japan. It turns out that Docomoco, and that's one of the cell companies there, is having a challenge keeping up with bandwidth for mobile phone users. And not surprising, and then they've got truly unlimited plans there. When you get a, you get $66 a month, you get unlimited unlimited internet access. Well, what's happening is just like in the United States, unlike peer-to-peer, which is using a lot of bandwidth, adult content is becoming a major issue for mobile providers in Japan, because it seems that anytime you can get streaming video, guess what people do? They go look for adult content. And so what Docomoco and other companies are having to do is they're identifying, this is the first time ever, they're identifying heavy users, heavy internet users with their mobile phones, and they are starting to restrict them on the amount of bandwidth they're being used, because they're killing, they're absolutely killing the network, and because they can't keep up. So I guess this is probably the reason that Apple has been so very strict about keeping adult applications off the iPhone. So, you know, with HTML version 5, or the standard, HTML 5 standard, and they're talking about codecs being built in so that you don't have to have a flash play or anything else, I think what's going to happen is this is going to become a bigger problem as we roll down the road, because as HTML 5 starts being implemented, basically the codecs will be pre-built into the browsers and the videos will play on the page without really any additional applications being loaded. And what that will mean is they really won't be able to restrict it. So I think, you know, it's HTML5 is in the very beginnings of its rollout, but over time, I think this is something that the networks are going to face, that they're just not going to be able to stop. And talk about it, just an amazing, I tell you, those adult video companies, it's just shocking how much money they're making. It just goes to tell you that, you know, no matter where people are at, wherever they live, you make available video content that you can watch while you're mobile, and they're going to watch it. That's for sure. Justice Department is reporting that they may bust up AT&T's exclusive deal with Apple iPhone. Now, this is just speculation. This is a headline grabber from Silicon Alley Insider. But there is some rumblings going on where the Obama administration's antitrust cop, Christine Varner, is looking at the Sherman Act. And this is for, you know, anti-competitiveness, antitrust stuff, monopoly control. And she's going to be looking at the wireless markets and seeing that if this exclusive deals are hurting smaller competitors. Well, that answer is easy. Yes, it's absolutely hurting smaller competitors. But, you know, you can't blame AT&T for, you know, spending the money to get that exclusive right. So we'll see what happens with this. Over at Goldman Sachs, it appears that a Russian immigrant living in the United States who was working for them and basically a computer programmer is being held on federal charges, accused of stealing top secret computer trading codes. This has got the feds, got Goldman Sachs, has got a whole bunch of people worried, because apparently he took the source code and uploaded to some site in Germany, and it's been downloaded apparently into some Russian website. So the New York Stock Exchange is stressing, and basically this is automated trading software. Goldman Sachs, up until a week or so ago, was listed on the by the New York Stock Exchange as being the top automatic trader. In other words, the computer just trades based on trends it sees. 49% of the stocks traded on the New York Stock Exchange is done by computers, not people. And so this guy's being held because he's basically let Goldman Sachs proprietary software go to apparently the highest bidder, the accused highest bidder. So we'll see what happens here. But, you know, maybe someone that's in the it's basically in the stock market, someone that works within these types of institutions could send me an email and tell me, you know, okay, so the code's out there. That means that maybe they're going to be selling this code to competitors. But what is really the worry? Don't you have to be like a registered firm to trade on the New York Stock Exchange? Isn't this, wouldn't they be able to tell? And I guess I don't understand. Yeah, okay, it's bad that this was stolen. The FBI's got this guy in jail, but you know, what are the complete ramifications. It's not like, you know, someone's going to start set up a trading firm and then start using this application, and all of a sudden, you know, they could smell that a mile away to see some new firm come online and start, you know, having the same type of behavior Goldman Sachs does. Of course, considering the, you know, how they've done financially recently, I don't know if I'd want to use their software or not. But very interesting on the computer espionage front. New algorithm guesses social security numbers using date and place of birth. Now, this is, I don't know if I agree with this, but a guy has developed some code that takes where you were born and your date of birth, and it's able to very accurately guess what your social security number is. Now, my sister and I's social security number are very, very close to one another, but my sister was born a number of years after I was. But my mom didn't submit our Social Security paperwork until after she was born, so I don't see how this can be tied to, because if our numbers are really close to one another and we're essentially 5 years apart in age, how this can be the case. I don't fully understand this one, but I'll have the link up in the show notes. All right, the gal that Jamie Thomas, she's asking for a new trial. She says $1.2 million is too much to pay, so she's asking for another new trial. I don't see if the judge is going to do that or not, but she's asking for one. I have some information on some of these exploits that are happening with Internet Explorer right now. It'll be up in the show notes. I do want to have a correction from last week's show, and I got some bogus information off a website. That's why it wasn't in the show notes. Windows 7 Family Pack is not Windows. The Windows 7 Family Pack simply means that you're going to be able to get three licenses with a single purchase of Windows 7 if you buy the Family Pack. So if you're a qualified Family Pack user, you may install one copy of software marked as Family on three computers in your household for use by people who reside there. This is not about extra tools. The information I got from the website last show told me it was all about extra tools and applications. That is not the case. So correction from the last show, the Windows 7 Family Pack, for those that qualify, you can install one copy of software on three machines. Very, very cool. We'll see what the price on this runs for Microsoft. So sorry about the misleading article last week, and that site has been removed from my read list. New company is out of Australia. If you want to buy Twitter followers, you can get 1,000 Twitter followers for $87. So if you can't get them on your own, you can buy them. Amazing. Please, if you don't go over to this company and get paid to follow people. That is just ridiculous. Serious iPhone application has been downloaded a million times, but jury's still out on how many of those people have actually converted to paying Serious XM customers. What else have I got for you here? Some more stuff on the ActiveX flaw. Those of you that have iPhones, you may want to check out this BatteryGo app that's up in the show notes tonight. I'm rushing here through this stuff so we can get into the rest of the content before I completely blow you guys out on time. A lot of data centers over the last week have went down. There have been five major incidents past week, which a generator or UPS failures have caused a data center power outages. And this thing that scares me to death is, you know, having servers go down for extended periods. It would be bad, bad, bad. Also, those of you that are gamers out there, I think you'll get a kick out of this article. It's over on NOLA.com. It's about a professor who did a social experiment in an online game, which he was following the rules completely. But he was basically, I guess the crux of the story is, there was a certain way a game was supposed to be played, but there was an area within the game which people, through some unwritten rules, didn't do certain things. In other words, battle one another. And this guy went into those specific areas and followed the rules exactly, and he engaged people in a gameplay that wasn't socially acceptable in the game. And it talks about his experience with that and how vile people got. And I think it's just a good read for those of you that are game players. I'm not a game player, but I think you guys will relate to this when you read it. I'll have it up in the show notes. A little bit of information will be in the show notes tonight about the RIAA, and they're wanting to seek the removal of court recordings. They demanded, I don't know how you demand a federal judge to remove recordings of pretrial hearings and so forth, but they are not happy with the recordings of this court case online. And I guess I'll save the rest of the articles for another show or put them up in the show notes. There'll be extra stuff in there. But if you're in Japan and you work for the Keihan Electric Express Railway, when you go to work in the morning, you have to stand in front of a camera. And you smile, and the camera actually scans your smile, and it actually instructs you where you need to move your, you know, if you need to grin a little more, show more teeth or whatever. You have to do this before you start your work, and when it's done scanning your face, it gives you a printout and says, hey, this is what you need to follow all day to stay happy, only in Japan. Oh, gosh. Got some space news at the end of the show notes for you. I'll have some more information on the iPhone 3G hack, and I'll have some information on cell phone bandwidth caps as well. All right, folks, that's it for regular content. Let me go ahead and get right into the audio comments, and then we'll get into the email. A couple of short ones here, so I'm sure we're going to have some good voicemails to laugh over. So let me go ahead and play the first one up. Again, 619-342-7365 is the voicemail hotline number.
Hi, Todd. It's Tony Hill from down in Australia.
Hey, Tony.
Just wanted to give a quick call and have a quick chat about the iPhone 3GS. I know it's something that's obviously keen for yourself and a lot of other viewers. Just interesting situation down in Australia. All of the four major mobile phone carriers, now have 3G iPhone plans, which means you've got the ability to basically get the iPhone on whichever carrier that you have a preference for, or you can actually go into the Apple Store and buy it unlocked outright for, I think it's about $1,040, 1040 for the iPhone 3GS.
Wow.
32 gig, which is not bad. The plans, of course, range from about $115, which includes your iPhone over a 2-year contract. These are all Australian dollars, which is you times them by 80 cents in the dollar, and so it works out about $92-$95 US. And get you the iPhone 32 gig for a 2-year contract with 2 gig of data and you know all your phone calls and text messages paid for in that plan. So pretty good time to be in Australia with the iPhone and the mobile phone service. It's pretty good. Have a good day. Enjoy your show, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks.
Hey, Tony, thanks for the call, and thanks for the rundown on the status of the iPhone and down in Australia. And nice to see you got lots of options, and it's cool that you can actually buy a phone unlocked. That is the best. It really, really is. Okay, here comes the next voicemail.
Hey, Todd. This is Bennett from Philly.
Hey.
I wanted to comment on the Pirate Bay thing. You know what? People crack me up. They get mad at you for making money, but nobody wants to help you when you're in a situation where you could go bankrupt. So, like in this case, they were all going to court. I bet you none of them people in them comments send any money towards a defense fund or nothing like that. But as soon as they decide to sell the site so they can keep, you know, their bills and their family and their house, you know, that's when they sell out. It just amazed me, though. But love the show.
Hey, that's the way the Internet is, my friend. People are fickle. You know, they expect you to conform to a certain way. And we're not going to go back into some of the stuff I've told you guys that happened on this show before, but you know, it's amazing. It's just like if you make money, it's evil. Don't we all, you know, we all have jobs? You know, don't we try to get paid? Yeah, it's really, you know, tell those people to go work for free somewhere, you know, and don't eat. Don't have money for their family. Oh, gosh. Okay. Thanks for your call. And yeah, you're right. But thanks. Here comes the next one.
Hey, Todd. This is Matt. I'm the guy who called you on Sunday on
Matt.
Instead of the voicemail hotline.
Again, no worries.
I apologize for that.
Anytime.
Anyways, I was calling. My name is Matt. I've been kind of an OHA member since around probably show 100, I think.
Nice.
Somewhere in that ballpark. I think you were right about the triple digits when I joined in. Anyways, I wanted to let you know that I actually joined the Navy, partly due to the way you've spoken about them in the past. You've always spoken very highly of them, and I've always had good things to say, and so that definitely weighed into our decision. In any case, I was wondering if maybe the Ohana could help me out, but I wanted to kind of run the idea past you personally as dad of the Ohana, obviously, and just make sure that you were good with it, and if you were, then we could go with it from there. My phone number is 928.
Oh, I don't want to have your. I don't want to have your phone being played on the show, and I'll go back through. What was the idea? Yeah, we can run any idea by the Ohana, no problem. And congratulations on making your choice to join the U.S. Navy. Good choice there. Make sure you get what you want, okay? Call me if you're having trouble. Make sure your ASVAB scores up good. Get what you want, okay? And call me if you need some tips. And if you're getting the runaround, call me. I got some brothers in arms that might be able to help you out there. So I'll listen to the rest of your voicemail offline. I don't like to play people's telephone numbers on the show because you never know when someone's going to call you if they have a different agenda or whatever. But I'll listen to the rest of your voicemail. Again, congratulations and thanks for making that decision based upon my feedback. I think it's something that you'll enjoy. It's a great career choice. It really is. And the best thing about it is if you decide you don't like it, you can always do something else. It's a volunteer force. Okay, let me go ahead and that's cool. Don't you guys think that's cool? I think we need to give him a round of applause for making that decision. Absolutely cool. And I'll listen to the rest of your voicemail after the show. Thanks for calling. Definitely appreciate it. And give me a jingle. We'll talk about it one-on-one. Here's the last voicemail of the night.
Hey, Todd. This is Denise Inglis. I was really excited to learn that I'd won the GoDaddy Challenge.
Yes, you did.
And so congratulations to the other winners. And I look forward to making some great podcasts. So hope you had a great 4th. Bye.
Hey, thank you so much, and I look forward to having you become the new rock star in podcasting. So thanks for your call, and check your email. You've got some stuff in your inbox. Okay, just got a few emails here to go through. Got an email from Trucker Tom. He says, hey, Todd. Listen, I got to wait for the email to load here. Come on. I'm running late. He says, hey, inflatable tower promises easy access to outer space. Inflatable tower, 9 miles tall and tethered to a mountaintop, could cut the cost of launch spacecraft, reduce the need for geostationary communication satellites, and improve cell phone signals. Okay. It's on discovery.com. It's got to be real. Thanks, Tom. We'll check that one out. 9-mile-high inflatable tower. Astronomers also have identified a new class of black hole. July 1st, astronomers on Wednesday said they identified an intermediate class of black hole that could explain how supermassive light-sucking monsters develop in the heart of galaxies. This find was a black hole more than 500 times the mass of the sun. I'm glad that one's out there a ways away, Tom. We don't need that one anywhere near us, that's for sure. Thanks for the links. I have those up in the show notes. Got an email from Joey. Got two links from Joey talking about satellite to cut phone cell dead zones, Dell pricing error, and also the jet-powered Ford F-150. I wonder if that's the Ford F-150 that they bought during the my grandfather's auction. That would have been cool to see him put a jet engine in that. And they got an email from Shane in Georgia talking about the Hawaii taxing affiliate program, and I've been pretty vocal here in Hawaii about that. Don't know if it's made any difference or not, but I know the legislature is considering whether or not they're going to do a governor's veto override. We'll see if that happens here. We'll know on July 15th. And we've talked a little about House Bill 1405 here, but it's good that the governor vetoed it. We'll see if the if this legislature, I'm really worried. I'm sure they're looking to find any dime they can, and it could be very, very bad for us here if they do override her veto. And they have the votes to do it very easily. Actually, 23 Democrats and 2 Republicans, so I think it's a non-issue if they want to do it. Got an email from Rob via Facebook, or actually a note from Rob via Facebook. Says, hey, Todd, Rob from the UK, Wales. Love your show. I've been listening since 2007, but I have noticed that shows are not as techy as they started off. It may be me, though. Yes, I can confirm that we're testing 200 megabit DOCSIS 3.0 in the UK. I'm currently on a 20 megabyte, hoping for 50 meg soon. Keep up the good work. And Rob, I am internally jealous about your 20 meg bandwidth service, and it's soon going to 50. Wish we had it. Really wish we didn't. And I don't know. I hope that we're keeping techie enough for you. And what does everyone else think? Think I'm not being techie enough? I don't know. I guess the show is what it is. Got an email from Mike. He said, hey, Todd, I live outside the United States. I wonder if you know of another free software like Hotspot Shield, since this one has too many ads and is almost impossible to navigate the internet. Thanks from the Dominican Republic. We love your show, Mike. I don't know what Hotspot Shield is, Mike. I need to Google that, okay, and check that out. But see if I can get an answer for you on that. Really, I don't know what that is, to be honest with you. Hotspot shield. Is that some sort of, maybe that's some sort of a firewall for Wi-Fi hotspots. Is that what that is? I'll Google that first and do some looking around. Everyone else, make sure you Google as well. I haven't validated what this software is, and but thanks, Mike, for the email as well. All right, we're long. It's okay. It is what it is. Thanks for everyone for hanging out with me. Those of you on Ustream, I'll hang out for a little bit after the show here, and I'll go back through the chat. Rushed at times tonight. Had a lot of content, obviously. Over the long weekend, it looks like everyone was waiting for money to release all their new announcements about stuff coming out and lots of different features. But appreciate you guys hanging with me for the show tonight. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail is +1 619 342 7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show. Thanks for hanging out. I see Mom's in the audience. Thank Mom for hanging out. And all of you on Ustream will be with you in just a second to chat. Other than that, everyone take care. Thanks for staying subscribed to the podcast. Everyone, tell your friends and family, make sure you go out and do that promo code. You have to go back and listen to the show. You'll definitely want to be registered to win, because next Tuesday I'm going to be giving away a cool prize. If you came in late on the Ustream, you want to go back and listen to the recording of the show. There's a promo code in there where you can win at podcastmadness.com. Our summer giveaway is ongoing right now. And I want to thank Jeffrey for doing that little promo for me. Saved me actually going out and looking the code up myself. And we'll play that again on the next podcast. Until next time, until I see you guys on Thursday night, take care. And, of course, show release Tuesday and Friday mornings. Aloha.